Everybody have a pen and a piece of paper? You ready? Yep. 12 o'clock, right? Yeah. Aim for 10 too.
Well, we have to tune in.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. Okay, so you're saying noon.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll aim for noon. Okay. A question for you. Hadn't talked about this. Karen mentioned it the other night. I know they saw your excellent presentation. I had like a 7-minute presentation. So if you want to put our presentation on at some point, good. If not, just something to throw in the pot. So anyway, good. All right, good. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm getting to know your names. Okay, little by little, I'm getting to know your names, so that's good. Last night, there was a third question we never threw in, and third question many of you know, which is, if you died today, why would you go to heaven? Okay, and the thing I do a lot of times with people is I say, don't answer me now. Because maybe it's because, especially in Puerto Rico, they don't like confrontation, they don't like to be put on the spot. And so it's a way of leading away from them, don't answer me now. You know, or something like that. But it's a good question to ask. You know, why are you going to heaven? Or, you know, if you died today, or if God asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Something like that. So anyway, let's see. Amin and Sylvia. Amin was a friend of mine. I met him in language school in Barcelona back in '92. Muslim, and so it was good for me to get to know Amin. Very strong on, obviously, the three things of Muslims, which is no women, no wine, no pork. Okay? So when he came to my house, if I offered him cookies or chips, he would carefully lead the package to make sure it didn't have any pork grease, fat, you know, in the cooking, things like that. Tried to win him to the Lord. Started going to the church. My father-in-law started in Barcelona, and while he was there, he slept with every one of the girls in the youth group. I had no idea until years later. This is my Muslim friend, okay? Later on, he got married to Sylvia. First, they were living together, and then they finally got married. This is the guy who was always very religious, still was very religious, and I'm still in contact with him a little bit on Facebook. Amin never made a profession for Christ. His wife did, Sylvia. It was a very quick profession, and I don't know if it ever went anywhere. In my years in Spain, I think we saw two people come to Christ, I think. José Ángeles, and he just heard me preaching. You know, he came to church on a Sunday night, and that was it. Spain is dead. Very, very dead. People just don't believe in anything. Just don't believe. And so you're out there, and you're sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. It's just a dead, very dead, yeah. Yeah, and another thing I saw is different people are good for different areas. And we ran into a missionary. I sold him my van when we left, and he kind of cheated me. And I just thought about it later. I said, this is the kind of person who does well in Spain. They're in your face, hard, you know, and that's not me. That's just not my character. And so you just see how God has different people for different things. So when you see pastors who aren't maybe your kind of pastor, even if they have the right theology or whatever, they might work in somewhere else. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's interesting as you travel, yeah.
You're saying he saw for him?
He what?
That kind of missionary saw
for him. He seemed to, yeah. And I'm not, just observations, okay? Just observations, but he dealt well with the Spanish people, you know. Karen's dad is high directive. I don't know. He's just, you know, he's a great guy. We did really well with him. We worked together, you know, but the Spanish people really respected him. You know, they're more of an in-your-face. They're very upfront. They tell you what they think, you know, that kind of stuff. So just different cultures. Different cultures require different people, different things. I want you to do me a favor right now in a little tiny corner. I just want you to draw a square. I mean a little tiny square. Just draw a square, you know, a little tiny thing, and then put an X in the middle of it. Very simple. Okay? All right, you did that, right? Okay, now I want you to do that again, but this time don't lift up your pen. okay? Don't lift up your pen. Just once again do it, okay? So you made a square, and you put an X in the middle of it. Okay, now I want you to do it again. This time I want you to do it, but I don't want you to trace over any of the lines twice. Okay? Can I borrow a pen? Do you have a pen for me? Okay. Now, did anybody figure out how to do it? Okay, I'm going to show you how. Okay? And this is where the phrase comes from, thinking outside the box. Seriously. So you start in the lower left-hand corner, and you're going to go over there, then you're going to go up, and you're going to go down, then around, then around, then around. And I did it. No, I did it right. I got it. I got it. Okay? Now you do it. You're going to start in the lower left-hand corner. Lower left-hand corner. And go up, over to your right. All right? And then you're going to just go up and make the triangle. Right? And then from there, you can pretty much go where you want. Huh? I added to the drawing. That's right. That's thinking outside the box.
That's because
you're a baby.
You're not the first one.
Excuse me?
You didn't tell us we could go out.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Right. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do it and just explain it to the person beside you and just show them how to do it. Okay? So explain it to the person. Have them do it. Because some of you out there were not doing it. You did it different? Well, did it work? Yeah? Huh? Do I want this down here or up here? I don't know. Yeah, we'll try it up there. Okay, so you explained it to somebody else, right? Right? Now, you guys realize that what you just did is, in a sense, discipleship, right? You learned something and you taught it to somebody else. Discipleship, okay? Hands-on discipleship, that's what it is. Let me just tell you up front what I'm going to say, right? If you want to write these things down, I would encourage you to do that. I'm just going to tell you right up front, this is what we're talking about today, and then we'll go back and we'll walk it through. First of all, I believe, write this down, I believe that God had called you to be a shepherd. Okay? Didn't call you to be a pastor, he called you to be a shepherd. All right? I believe God calls every believer to be a shepherd. All right? That's the first one. God calls everybody to be a shepherd. In fact, a good shepherd. I believe there are four things that are necessary in order to be a good shepherd. One of them is the right vision. In other words, you have to have that right vision of I'm training somebody else to be a shepherd. So one is the right vision. Number two, it involves a personal relationship. The pulpit is not enough. Sunday school is not enough. You rub shoulders, caught, not taught. To an extent, those kinds of things. Number three is you help people set and reach their goals. And then to the right, in capital letters, you write FAT, faithful, available, teachable. Okay, so number three is you help people set and reach their goals, FAT. Yeah, F-A-T, faithful, available, teachable. It works in Spanish, too, which is nice. Yeah. And number four, it's imperative to communicate your expectations of whoever you're working with. You good? You got it? Some months back, I started praying, probably about 9 months ago, and I started praying. I said, God, would you please give us a vision for our church? Just somewhere, where are we going as a church? And it was just interesting because as I evaluate myself, as I go back to furlough, whenever I come back to the States, I often find myself teaching on either evangelism or discipleship. Those are kind of my two things that I like to teach on. And I gave a conference up in South Dakota a couple years ago, and I was teaching on discipleship, and it was very good for me as I was just thinking this through. And this is where this started to come to life for me. Yesterday, I was reading some discipleship materials, very good materials, and he was very strong at the beginning. He said, you have to reproduce yourself. It can't just... This is not just about me teaching you and then it ends. It has to continue on. But he made a statement which has always tripped me up. And he says, we're here to produce leaders. And leaders doesn't work for me. It works for you. It works for other people. But it just doesn't work for me. It just doesn't. What's a leader like? Or for example, we say, I'm here to make a disciple. And you say, well, what's a disciple? Okay. And so just this very small thing, a very small, just tweak it a little bit, it just helped me tremendously to say, where are we going as a church? And truthfully, my goal from here on out is that I am here to help other people become good shepherds. That's what I'm about. If you say, what are Bob and Karen doing in Puerto Rico? They're helping other people become good shepherds, okay? Starts with evangelism and then goes on up until, you know, wherever. So that's what we're doing. So let's just do this. What have we said so far this morning? Summarize. Chuck.
God calls every one of us to be a shepherd.
Yeah,
shepherd.
Yeah, good shepherd.
Four things required.
All right, somebody else help me with one of the four.
Right vision.
Yeah, right vision.
Relationship.
Yeah, relationship.
Fat.
Right, fat, right. Help them reach their goals, exactly. Yeah, communicate. Yeah, that last one I kind of tagged on in the last weeks because I've seen where it's falling it's falling short in our church. And so I said, oh, I need to do this. All right, let's go on. So Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. And, you know, here's a question. What's a disciple? What's a disciple? Are you a disciple? Are your children disciples? Are you making disciples? And here's another one. See, here's the thing. If God told you to make a cake, well, that's very clear. Okay, we all know what a cake is, and we know when a cake is well done, and we know when a cake tastes good. Okay, so we know that we know. Okay, but that's easy to find. But when we get into making a disciple, it becomes very nebulous. Okay, well, what is it? What is it we're supposed to be doing? And so we say, well, a disciple is in Greek. It's just he's a learner. That's what he is. And actually, what we're doing is we're learning to do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Yeah, he made disciples. In fact, if I were to put a word on Jesus, if I were to give him a title, his own title, I would call him the... Yeah, I call him the Good Shepherd. And so that helps me. That helps me as I formulate my vision. What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? What is it that you're supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be a good shepherd. You know, as a mom or as a dad, that's what you're doing. You're working to build good shepherds. You're training your kids to be good shepherds. That's what you're at. So anyway, you see that Jesus called out to the lost. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Okay? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That rest is probably from similar to Hebrews, Sabbath rest, salvation. So he was calling unto the lost all the time. So when I make shepherds, when I help other people become shepherds, it starts with evangelism. Starts right away with evangelism. Okay? Go into all the world, right, make disciples. It's going to start with evangelism. He also constantly called out to the disciples, you know, follow me. He was always teaching, all right? So what's the next step? What have we learned? Okay, we didn't write that one down. Yeah, right, yeah. So what we see about Jesus is that he was a good shepherd, right? And so as a disciple, I also want to become a good shepherd, okay? Yeah. Sure, you're always learning from the... Right.
Of course, Jesus didn't have to. He was only the shepherd.
You know what I preached on last week? Jesus learned obedience. Fascinating thought. He learned obedience. And his whole life, God was preparing him for his greatest test. And he prayed to pass the test. That's how I understand the passage. Amazing thing. Jesus is also learning. Incredible.
I mean, it is incredible.
Yep.
There's a Jewish boy growing up.
Yep. I just want to share a few passages with you. You can look them up, but you know what? You know these from memory. At least the first one you do. In fact, I'll just say the first few words. Follow me and I will... Right, okay. So that's going to be Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. There's four things I learned from that simple phrase. Okay, four things. And I encourage you to just write these four down. Okay? First of all, once again, relationship or personal time. He spent time with these men. Okay? So the first one's going to be relationship or personal time. Second one is he had a goal. What was his goal for them? Right, which is probably evangelism. That's the way I would understand it, okay? So he had personal time, then he had a goal, training them for evangelism. Here's another one. When he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, he's asking for time. Okay, remember fat, faithful, available, teachable? People have to have time. If people don't have time, I can't train them, okay? So he was asking for time from them. And then another one is that they were willing to follow Jesus. So whenever you're working with somebody, there must be a relationship where they're willing to follow you and learn from you. If they're not, then that's not going to work. So what did we learn just now? Go ahead, Zoe. All right? Go ahead, give them to me. Yeah, time, goal, willing to follow, personal time, right? Goal, sending out to preach. Commitment. Yeah, personal time. Yep. I did. Gotcha. Right. Yep. So Jesus was helping others become shepherds. That's what he was doing. Okay? That's what was up with Peter and all the rest of them. Okay. So, we all know when a cake is done, right? So when is a disciple done? Yeah, okay. Tastes good. All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And once again, I don't know if anybody has ever done, but there's a basic model, okay, that person's come to, all right? So for personally, even like this weekend, my goal is to help you become good shepherds. And my challenge in any of this is what we're about. This is what the church is about, is helping people become good shepherds, starting with evangelism. So let's just make a clear statement. Let me read it. As a disciple, we want to imitate Jesus. He was a good shepherd, and we want to be good shepherds. Okay, so say it to your neighbor. Our job is to be good shepherds. All right? Yep. All right. All right. There's one. There it is. Mark 3:14. Very interesting passage. I've got it in Spanish. In English, I think it says, and he designated 12, or he designated the 12, that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. Okay? So he designated 12. He chose 12. He looked at these men and said, these men are faithful, available, teachable, except for Judas. He was a devil. Okay? So he chose the 12 that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. So that's what he did. That's what Jesus was all about. All right. Excuse me?
Say the reference again.
Mark 3:14. Yep. All right. So we're going to go back to our four statements, okay? And let's just look at the first one, which is the right vision, right vision. I'm training them to shepherd somebody else. I'm not just training for knowledge. All right. So many times in our teaching is for knowledge, right? Our teaching is for knowledge. Here's the thing. We're selling ourselves short if we're only for knowledge. It's just whenever I'm focusing, whenever I'm working with somebody, it's like, how is this plugging in? I teach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, and Friday night. How is this plugging in? Is this enabling me to help you to become a good shepherd? Okay, so that's what I'm going for right now. And one of the things I've been thinking about this, because we're going to talk about Ephesians 4 on Monday, just as I've been thinking, it's just been very good for me, and I'm saying, I need to start a shepherd school. And a shepherd school is not a Bible college, okay? We want to get a Bible college going here soon, okay? I've got a family coming, a missionary family, actually, and I've asked him, I said, Nate, please, would you be willing to start a Bible college, okay? So we're going to get that all translated, get the training for it and all of that. We want to get something started because I'd love to see our people get started in Bible college. But more than that, or online with that, I want to start a shepherd school. And a shepherd school, if you have ideas, please tell me. But a shepherd school is that I'm enabling people. I'm getting together. I'm training people how to make shepherds. Okay? So we're going to talk about, I want to train them. I want you to think how to evangelize. And we're going to think about how to make contacts. For example, I was talking with Jonah this morning and talking about, you know, doing this training that he's going into. Like, we've got a hurricane coming towards us. It's supposed to pass just by us. So we'll probably get a lot of rain. And maybe winds, that's going to mean down trees and all kinds of things. That's the way I got to know my neighbors. He was Catholic. I think he was a believer. And now they're very strong in our church. But we had a tropical storm go by, lost electricity. He doesn't know anything about handyman. Went across the street, helped him get their generator running. And that was an inn. And then we went kayaking. And then we started a Bible study. And then they became part of our church. Okay. So anyway, it's just saying, how can we as a church get to know other people? What servant ministries, what different kind of ministries can we do? But anyway, I'm wanting to start this, I'm wanting to start a school, a shepherd school. I want to teach people how to evangelize. I want to teach people how to do a Bible study with others. I want to teach people how to do a Bible study themselves, which is what we're going to do tonight. Okay? You might enjoy tonight more than any other session. And it's the simplest for me, okay? It's the simplest for me. Okay. Come on, computer, turn back on. All right. By the way, what is my biggest obstacle in Puerto Rico to helping people become shepherds? Abigail. What's my biggest obstacle in Puerto Rico to helping people become shepherds? Any idea? Go ahead. That's okay. Go ahead, Deb. Go ahead. What'd you say? Okay. Go ahead. Any idea? Hannah, any idea?
Tradition?
Huh?
Tradition. Catholic Church tradition.
Okay. No. Good idea. What are some things? Sure, Zoe. Okay, that can be with me, right? Right? Okay. Think through fat. Faithful, available, teachable. Which one's my biggest problem? Yeah, available and faithful. It's always something else. Just can't get in the Word. Can't get there on time. Can't do their homework. Just can't. They're supposed to be getting together to disciple somebody. Oh, we just couldn't do it this week. Oh, something came up. And that's why I jumped back and I said, I've got to stop. We got to work with this. We've got to change this, okay? So that's one of my big ones right there. That's one of my biggest obstacles. But anyway, let's just have a right vision. Would you guys accept that as being, would you accept that, Bob, as being a good vision for your church? Making that, my purpose here is to help others become good shepherds. So you're on board with that. Okay, good, good, good. Anybody else? What do you think about that? Would you say time or faithful?
I think it fundamentally comes down to motivation, to willingness, to be faithful and available if they want to work. But there's so many things in life here in America and apparently Puerto Rico, maybe different things, but there's so many things that fundamentally Satan is using to keep people from being faithful.
Yeah. You know, one of the guys in our church, college age, he says Puerto Ricans are so lazy. He said it. Okay, and I don't want to come across too strong. I'm being taped also, but anyway, it's something we struggle with. Seriously, one of the big issues in Puerto Rico we struggle with is mediocrity. Just everything is subpar. So when you go to a doctor, you go get your car worked on, anything you do. Everything is just subpar. And what happens is that we adjusted for that, and so I'm just used to it. You're just used to it. It's just the way it is, okay? Just used to it. Is that similar in the Philippines or not? Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. Let's just jump on. So the first one we're talking about, just having that correct vision. You know, I'm here to help others become shepherds. Second one involves a personal relationship. Right. Here's something I was thinking about last night. We were talking about talking with other people and sharing Christ and things. And if I were to ask the question, why are you going to heaven? And everybody in Puerto Rico would say, because I'm a good person, right? And I have a couple of ways I can deal with that. One, I can deal with that is, I'm right, you're wrong. Let me enlighten you, okay? No, I don't want to do that. Here's the thing. When I work with people, when I'm working with people to for their set goals, yes, there's accountability, but it's not, I'm not that way. I'm not in your face. It's just not the style I want to do, okay? What I want to do is work with you. You've set some goals. How are you doing with your set goals? Not how are you doing with my set goals, okay? So as I teach people, I'm wanting to come along and work with them. I want people to know that I want what's best for you. This is not about me and my success and me being right and you having my knowledge. Okay? I'm wanting to help you. Okay? So as we're working through this, you know, as you have this, you build this relationship. I have a new family in our church and they're Americans, but he is so strict in everything, and it's been hard for him. It's hard when Americans move to Puerto Rico because there's so much criticism. Well, they don't do this, and they don't. And what's happened, though, is he started closing the door because he started having a reputation. You know, some of my college age, they say, I don't want to be with him because all he does is talk about other people. Okay? And they're learning. We all go through that, okay? They're learning. But the point is, once again, is that I'm here for you. I want what's best for you. I'm not here to condemn you, judge you, anything like that, you know, but I'm wanting to help you. And so that's a bit of a different attitude. Have I stated that well? Do you guys follow me on that? Yeah? Okay. All righty. Good. Computer went off again. All right. Now, let's talk about number three. We've already talked about it a little bit, helping people set and reach their goals. We talked about fat, faithful, available, and teachable. Now, here's what's interesting. It's refreshing for me because I come to you guys and I say, wow, a lot of you guys actually have a lot of things together already. It's interesting for me. It's like, you guys are at a whole different level than what I'm working at. Okay? You're just at a whole different level. A lot of you are, even in your singing. I'm the loudest voice in my church, and you can't even hear me here, okay? And what happens is that you know, this faithful, available, teachable. A lot of people, maybe you've learned that because you've grown up in that society. Think about Timothy. Where'd Timothy learn to be faithful, available, teachable? Well, maybe, yeah, but maybe he learned it from, yeah, his mom and his grandma. Yeah, so he learned that. He was trained in his home. I mean, you know, and that's huge. You know, if you can train children, wow, you've really advanced it. So what happens is that for a long time, Karen has said, she said, we are working with inner city people. And I'm thinking, no, we're not. I'm working with normal class working people. But when we come back and we compare it to America, well, really, their habits really are inner city. And so, you know, this whole thing about coming that, you know, faithful, available, teachable, I've got to train them to do that. You know, I've got to work with them and push, prod, help, you know, whatever, so that they become faithful, available, teachable. But here's the thing. If somebody is not faithful, available, teachable, you can't work with them. You just can't do it. You can't do it. It's not going to go anywhere. All right. You guys, if you want to look it up, that's fine. Maybe you know it, 2 Timothy 2:2. Okay? Very common. This is great, great. I mean, Paul just says it in just very few words, you know, what we're saying this morning. So 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, that which you've heard from me in the presence of many, isn't that what he says? Is that how it goes? Many witnesses? Yeah. Why does he say that? He's just saying, whatever I teach, I don't have inner room teaching, okay? I'm working with my inner few, and now I'm going to tell you the truth. He says, no. He says, what I say everywhere, okay? These guys weren't like the Gnostics who had special truth, you know, or maybe they weren't like a weird cult where for the inner circle we explain some things, okay? Paul says, you know, what you've heard from me, everybody, what I say out loud. So what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses and trust to... Yeah, faithful man. It's just the word anthropos. He didn't use the word android. Okay, he didn't use that. He just used the word anthropos. Probably by context, I think he's saying talk to men. So he's saying to Timothy, he says, work with men, work with faithful men. And then it's interesting because he goes on, he says, we'll be able to train others. And what's interesting, the word other there is heteros, heterosexual, different. So to Timothy, he said, you're training these faithful men. But those guys then, in turn, might be training who?
Children.
Might be dealing with children. Timothy might have been training pastors, but maybe he wasn't training pastors' wives. So maybe I would be working with training women or training children, okay? Or maybe even, I don't know if it was necessarily intended in that, but evangelism, okay? So anyway, yeah, so you had those different areas, right? So he says, I want you to be training faithful men. Now, different levels. You ever thought about that? There's levels of discipleship. Can you disciple an unbeliever? Sure, you can do pre-evangelism, pre-discipleship, sure, right? Do you think that'd be a good idea in your church if even, like, let's say that one of your 15-year-olds was getting together with somebody else, a friend of his from school or a friend from somewhere, they started doing a Bible study with an unbeliever, would that be a positive thing? And what happens if the 15-year-old says, man, I'm really not sure how to do this, and somebody was working to help that person, would that be good? Okay, right. So we have that level of working with an unbeliever. So that's what I'm trying to do. Okay, that's what I'm trying to do. I've got Minerva working with Daisy. Okay, I've got Minerva working with Daisy. Daisy is 65, made a lot of money in her life, big time into politics. Now she's poor and doesn't have a friend in the world. Okay, Daisy, first time I met her, she insulted me. She insulted my Spanish right away. I mean, that's the way she is. And her daughter comes to our church, and her daughter said, my mom really needs some trees cut down. So I took Wiso, who's 78, and I took Minerva, and we went out, and I was up on this, you know, cutting down these small trees and stuff. And Minerva's getting to know Daisy, and Daisy, you know, she's sitting here crying. Well, here's what happened. Her daughter shipped her off the island because she had death threats, okay? She got in a fight with her neighbor, tore off all of her neighbor's clothes, took her neighbor's necklace, twisted it around so tight that her neighbor was turning blue, okay? She got a $50 fine, probably because she'd been in politics, okay? So she had to get off the island. So she left the island. She went to her son's house. She was there for 4 days, and her son said, "Mom, you've got to go." And then her other son did the same thing. Her kids don't want her. And she's crying, and she said, "They don't want me. My kids don't love me." And we're all sitting there saying, "Lady, don't you get it? You know, don't you get it?" And she doesn't. She really doesn't. She doesn't, you know. So now me and Edva started a Bible study with her. Okay, and that's right, good, right. So I'm working with me and Edva, you know, and working with her. Elijah's working with his friend Sebastian. Elijah's 16-ish, 17. I'm real happy with that. Okay, just some different things going on. Is that a good idea?
Yes.
I think so. Just working with these people. Okay, what else do I have here? Okay. So one level would be working with an unbeliever. What would be another level? Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Right. Does a new believer have to be faithful, available, teachable? To an extent, they may or may not do their homework. They may or may not make it every time, okay? What it is, if I can, if I have somebody new in the church, or if I have a new believer, then I would want to work with them, okay? And you know what's going to happen right away? I'm going to find out if that person is faithful, available, teachable, right? Then let's go on to the next level. My next level would be mentoring, right? And this is where you say, can I train this person to do something? Okay, can I train? For example, I've got Olga. Olga's my age. She's a social worker. Okay? I don't know if she's at the point where I could have her mentor somebody. Okay? I couldn't have her mentor another person. I don't know that I'd have her lead a discipleship class because I just don't know that she's there spiritually. Could I have her lead an unbeliever's class? Probably. And it would be a good step for her. And then I would find out as time goes by where she's going to be. Okay? All right? So I could be mentoring Olga to at least do that first level. Okay? If she's going to be faithful, available, teachable, and we can go on from there. So that's just what I see as far as working with people. Let me ask you a question. How helpful would it be for somebody to take a personal interest in your children and work with them, love them, talk to them, encourage them? Would that be something you'd want? I see one person saying yes. Okay? Here's the thing. My son's 20. My other son's 24. And my daughter's 28. I'd love it. And I think what it is that as you go through life, you realize more and more where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are. I need other people. I need other people to help in our church. Okay? This right here isn't sufficient. I need other character qualities, other interests, things like that. And even in my own children. You know, like Renee came last Sunday and took Jonathan out to lunch. I was so happy. You know, I was just so happy. You know, they're not just sitting down to do a formal Bible study or anything, but I see Renee taking a personal interest in my son, okay? Is that something that you think would ever be helpful for the teens of your church? You know, you taking an interest or somebody else taking an interest in them, helping them along? Personally, I think that's a jewel. That's great worth. And I don't mean just a youth group leader. I'm talking about somebody who takes a personal interest. Remember that personal relationship thing? Yeah, it just takes a personal relationship. And what is your goal? Well, sometimes your goal is just to help them maintain course, right? Right? You guys have got, from my point of view, got some sharp kids. Right now, my youth group, we're probably about 15, 20, 25, depends on the Friday. And I've got a half-dead group. Half my group right now is just playing dead. Okay, they came to us as older kids, or some of them just always grew up just far away. It's just the way it is, okay? You know, but anyway, for somebody to come along and take an interest, that'd be great. Questions? Okay. We talked about setting goals. So if you were gonna get together and work with somebody, Karen, what would you want to teach them to do? If you were gonna help somebody become a good shepherd, what would you want to do? Just tell me something. What would you want to teach them? It's good to think about it, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, of course. Sure.
If they're unbelievers, you know, having that impact to bring them to the point of salvation, if the Lord so wills.
Mm-hmm.
If they're just saved, to a greater point of maturity.
Yeah.
If they're a good ways on their maturity to that next level of maturity, mm-hmm. which is probably making sure that they're working with someone else.
Yeah. So maybe. Okay. All righty. What are some qualities that you would like to see in a faithful person? What are some qualities?
Honesty.
Okay, honesty. Honesty.
Sincerity.
Yeah, sincerity. Yeah. Character. You guys are talking character traits. Honesty, sincerity, integrity. Right?
Caring, that you really care.
Sure. Huge. Huge. Excuse me? Okay, yeah. Yeah, servanthood, being a servant. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excuse me? Sure, okay.
A hunger for God's word. You want them to, at some level, wherever they are, you want them to see that, a desire to learn.
Huge. That's my number one. Yeah. One of the things that we're going to do it tonight. And helping people meditate on the Word of God. Huge. It's just so important. Yeah, Word of God. What are some other character traits as you're getting along, thinking about those? What are some things you would love to see in your disciple? We've already mentioned a number of character traits. What are some other things they would be doing?
I'd like to help somebody cultivate a deep prayer life.
Yep. Sure. Teach them to pray. Here's a question for you. If you were discipling somebody and they were looking for a guideline, how much time per day should they pray? What would you say? I was talking with a missionary about a year ago, and I said, how much time do you spend praying every day? He said, about 10 minutes. Oh, that was surprising to me. It's like, whoa, okay. What would you want? What would you want for your disciple? Excuse me?
As much as he can?
Okay, pray without ceasing, right? Different people, different styles. And that's where you have to be careful because God doesn't set a time frame. He just doesn't do it. Yeah. Think about this. This is something to throw in, you know, thinking. How much time of the day did Jesus spend praying?
Hours.
Well, what did he do with most of his day? He was with people. Yeah, he'd get up early or he'd spend the night and then go spend the day teaching, which I...
He did spend a long time in prayer so much so that they fell asleep on him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's last night. Yeah, right. So that's interesting. It's always scary for me to set time frames because then it becomes legalistic, and I don't want to do that. But I do encourage people to do 15-15. To me, that's what I try to do at minimum, okay? Just try, because I want to push my people to something. I was reading a thing the other day. It says how to spend 7 minutes with God. And I thought, man, I can't do hardly anything in 7 minutes. Me, yeah. Yeah.
For time we have in prayer is to have that same zeal in your prayer in the evening as well before you go to bed.
Right.
You know, just want to say a fast prayer and go to sleep. You know,
so yeah, right.
The same sincerity of prayer.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's hard for me.
How do you define prayer? Because a lot of times in my shop, talk to God. I need help on this.
Yeah.
Please protect me from my machinery.
Yep.
Is that not a prayer?
Sure. Yeah.
So when you talk in terms of
time,
I can add quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it may be a point of growth. You know, maybe we start with the all-day conversation with the Lord, which is what we're supposed to be doing, praying without ceasing. But eventually, there should be this, as the Lord lays it on your heart, hopefully there's this concerted time, whatever. Maybe it starts to be once a week, and then it becomes 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always according to the way the Lord is laying on your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do we not pray? I'll get to you. Why do we not pray? Because I don't need God's help. I don't need his help. I can do it fine myself. Thank you. Okay, Bob.
It tags right with that question, too.
Yeah.
It's a relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is prayer time for you guys work? It is for me. It's work for me. I spend a certain amount of time. I spend a block of time. I try to spend a block of time daily. Like this morning, I just went out walking, okay? And it was more of a gentle time. But many times for me, it's a striving time. Okay, I'm seeking things from God. Some things I'm seeking greatly. God, I need this. Okay, so for me personally, it's just, and maybe it's because I'm a to-do person. You know, and so, you know, every person is different. So you talk about relationship, and I don't know that I don't know. I think maybe our prayer life is different. You know, obviously I commune with God, you know, and things. So anyway, just, yeah, different people. I'm sorry, there was something else came to my mind. Oh, yeah. What are your top five prayer requests? What are you looking for from God right now? Top five prayer requests. Where if God answered, you'd say thank you. Yep. And you don't have to answer me, but what I'm saying is, if God were to answer that prayer, would you know it and be able to say, God, thank you? Yeah. So when people say, how can I pray for you? I say, how long of a list do you want? Because there's just a lot of things that I'm seeking from God. You know, there's a lot of things I'm looking for God. Okay. There's some things as I seek to work with people. First of all, you know, because I know the person, I can start working with some of those character traits we're talking about. You know, are you a servant? Are you loving? Are you disciplined? Are you a person of integrity? You know, are you those things? For example, there was a friend of mine, pastor, and his wife left him, and he had married a very difficult woman, and he did it, and she left him. And he was on his own, and he was still pastoring, and I started working with him, and I said, oh, you're kidding me, it's 12:05. Oh, my. goodness. Oh, man. Oh, what happened here? Oh, I wasn't watching.
When you're done, just close the prayer.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, it caught up on me. Oh, man. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Anyway, so long and short of it is he left the pastor and he started coming to our church. Wonderful guy. And one of the guys in my church, he's an electrician, he says, "Do you realize he's stealing electricity?" I said, no, I didn't know that. And they had cut off electricity, and so I started working with him. I said, you can't. I mean, I was getting to the point. It went on for some months, and I got to the point, and I said, I'm going to need to put this guy in discipline. We're going to start discipline. You can't keep doing this. This is a pastor. Okay? And he finally, got things right, and I said, you need to go to that electric company and tell them that you've been stealing electricity and you need to pay for it. And so he went to a friend of his, and he said, "Hey, listen, I've been doing this, and we need to pay for it." And the guy told him, he says, "Don't worry about it." He says that we knew the day you started stealing electricity. He says, "Do you know how many churches steal electricity?" That's my world. Okay, it's common. I spent basically two weeks, making sure that our church was tax-free. Okay? How many churches do you think even care? That's just my world. That's the world. So as I get together with people, I'm working with those issues of integrity and life and all that. All right. So I've run out of time. I'm sorry. We're going to work with Bible tonight. I think you're going to enjoy that. Okay? Memory verses. I've chosen about 120 verses. And so just in getting people to learn memory verses. Evangelism. I want to teach them how to evangelize. I want to teach them how to share their testimony, how to share the bridge, how to share the gospel in their hand. Talked about obedience. Another one's offering. Probably don't think about that. But yeah, you work with people. And you say, we don't believe in 10%. I understand that. How much did Abraham give, who was pre-law? Oh, interesting. He gave 10% to Melchizedek. Oh, interesting. Okay, just kind of a good thing. All right. And then, counseling. All right. I'm just going to step on number 4, and then we're going to shut her down. It's just so imperative to communicate. I found out that as I've started off, I'm finding out people are just not making it. They're not doing it. They're not consistent in their time in the Word. They're not consistent in their meeting with others, like, wait a minute. And that's why right now, I'm wanting to start a shepherd school. So here's what I would appreciate, and we're gonna close with this, but here's what I would appreciate is, seriously, is for just to come to me and say, if I were going to evangelize somebody, or if I were going to get together and do a Bible study and train somebody to be a shepherd, here's what I would need to learn. Okay? What things do you need to know so that you could sit down and help somebody else become a shepherd? What would you need? Okay? So I might approach you throughout the weekend and I'll bring my computer with me and say, what would you need? Okay? Is that question clear? All right, good. All right. Good. I've got a great big clock in my church. I got a great big clock. You know what happened is the little boy said to his dad, he says, "Dad, what's it mean when the pastor looks at the clock?" "Nothing." Well, yeah. All right, hey, why don't we stand up and let's pray. Lord in heaven, we thank you for others who have invested in our lives and taught us and trained us and sometimes put up with us because we're not always the easiest people. And we thank you, God, for it. Lord, I pray you just bless us. You would help us to become good shepherds. Touch our lives, train us, help us, bless us. Thanks for the food we're about to eat, Lord. Thanks for many, many blessings. Thank you. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.